This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. When we look at the world now, we see that the Muslims are in dire straits and there are difficult situations all over. We raise our hands and it seems like the situation is only getting worse. During the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send rain down whenever there was a drought. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send the angels to help whenever they met the enemy. And when we look at our case, sometimes we see our situation, even at home. We see that our children are not listening to us and not obeying us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue to supplicate to Him. But it seems like the situation is not getting any better. How can we improve that and what can we do to change that? Of course, there are many things that we can do. In the Quran and the Sunnah, there are guidance for us. But I'm just going to talk about one thing in this khutbah of how we ourselves, what we can do so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will quickly respond to our needs when we raise our hands. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Know Allah in times of ease, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also know you in times of hardship. So what should we change and what should we do? We should change in how we are in our response to Allah and His Messenger. And when we are quick in responding to Allah and His Messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be quick in responding to us also when we raise our hands. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, whenever they heard an order from Allah and His Messenger, they were quick in responding. They did not delay in the response to the orders of Allah and His Messenger. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited alcohol, and a caller went out into the streets of Medina, he said, أَلَا إِنَّ الْخَمْرَ قَدْ حُرِّمَتْ أَلَا إِنَّ الْخَمْرَ قَدْ حُرِّمَتْ أَنَسْ بْنُ مَالِكٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He said, I was in the house of Abi Talha, and we were drinking, and this was before prohibition. Some of us were drinking, and others were pouring. As soon as we heard the caller announce, saying that alcohol had been prohibited, everybody stopped whatever they were doing. Those who were drinking, they put the cup or the glass down. And those who were pouring stopped pouring right away. And then he said, and then we went towards the containers and we poured it into the streets of Medina to the point where the streets of Medina were flowing with alcohol. Did they stop there also? They didn't stop there. They continued to go towards the containers, and not only did they pour all that was in the containers, they smashed the containers also. This is how they responded to Allah and His Messenger. Quickly, immediately, they did not say, inshallah, let me finish this glass. Inshallah, let me finish this last container. Inshallah, let me just finish right now today, and then after that we'll stop. No, immediately, at that moment, as soon as they heard the order or the prohibition, they stopped immediately. Not only that, they did not even want anything to remind them of that matter anymore, because they knew that that was best for them. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He prohibits something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's best for us. And when He prohibits something, that means it's not good for us. And that means it's harmful for us. And that's why haram equals harm. Haram equals harm. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us better than ourselves. And He's more merciful towards us than we are merciful towards our own selves. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not know whom He has created? And is He all subtle, all aware? And thus, if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to us, we should respond to Allah and His Messenger, just like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and responded to Allah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an order or a prohibition. And thus, there are many examples during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one such incident, there was a companion by the name Abdullah ibn Rawaha. He was coming towards the masjid on Friday, just like today. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving the khutbah. And there were some people in the masjid, they were standing up at the back. And so he said to them, Ijlisu, everybody sit down. Abdullah ibn Rawaha was still outside the masjid. But as soon as he heard the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, sit down everybody, he sat down outside the masjid and did not take another step. Why? Because he was afraid to go against the orders of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not another step, not a single step, even though the direction, even though the orders were not directed towards him, but he did not want to take a chance. For this was a voice that was familiar to him, and this was the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, sit down, and his first instincts were, I'm not going to take another step. If he said sit down, I'm going to sit down where I am right now. And so the people came after him, saw him sitting down outside the masjid, and they informed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam after the khutbah, and he said, Zadakallahu hirsan ala tawa'ita lillahi wa rasuli. May Allah increase you in the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. And this is how they were. Quick in the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was quick in responding to him and responding to them. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if we want to revive ourselves, if we want to change, the first thing we should change is changing how we respond to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha ladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wal rasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. O ye who believe, give your response to Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. When they call you to that which gives you life, life in this world and in the hereafter. And this is the only way to revive and to change ourselves, is to change the way we respond to Allah and His Messenger. For indeed the Qur'an and the Sunnah are still the same. They are the same ayats and the same words that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke. We have with us in the collections of hadith and in the verses of the Qur'an are in our masajids and in our houses and recited in the masajids. Exactly the same way that it was revealed, exactly the same way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited them in front of the companions. Nothing has changed when it comes to Islam, but it is we as Muslims, we have changed the way we respond to Allah and His Messenger. And that's why the conditions have also changed. And thus, if we want things to go back to the position, to the status where we are those whom Allah subhanahu has mercy upon, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send help, then we have to change the way we respond to Allah and His Messenger. And that's the Prophet, and during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions were so keen in responding to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in obeying him, that whatever the Messenger of Allah sallam did or told them to do, they were quick in following his orders, even if he did not say a single thing. It was just his actions. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was once praying and he led the people in prayer, and all of a sudden he took off his shoes. They used to pray in the masjid with their shoes on, because the masjid was not like it is nowadays, and it's permissible to pray with their shoes on, for indeed they used to pray with their shoes on. And of course, as long as you see that it's clean. But during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took off his shoes during the prayer. So the companions, when they saw the Prophet ﷺ taking off his shoes, everyone in the masjid took off their shoes also in prayer. And so he turned around. And you can imagine this. Everyone had taken off their shoes in the masjid. So he said, "Mahamalakum al-qa'ini alikum. Why did you take off your shoes?" And so they said, "We saw you doing so, O Messenger of Allah." And so we did so. He said, "Jibreel came to me in prayer and told me there was adha. Adha, there was najis. There was filth on my shoes, so I took them off." You guys don't need to take off your shoes. And so look at them. The first instincts, it wasn't just sami'na wa ta'na. It wasn't just we hear and we obey. We see, whatever we see, we try to follow in that example. And even in matters that they did not have to follow, they wanted to follow. And they were quick in liking and loving what the Prophet ﷺ loved also. When the Messenger of Allah ﷺ came to Medina, he stayed in the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. He was the host. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari was the host of the Prophet ﷺ. So he brought food to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. And the Messenger of Allah ﷺ did not touch the food. So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, when he saw that he did not touch the food, after coming back to try to clean the plates and clear it for him, he said, "Haram and who? Is this haram?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, walakinni akrahuhu, but I dislike it." Then the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked it, he never complained about food. Ma'aba Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ta'aman qatt. Idha ishtahahu akal wa illa tarak. If he liked something, he would eat it. He would never complain about food. And it's not proper to complain about food. If you don't like it, just leave it alone. And if you like it, then just eat it. That's proper manners. And so, he never complained about food. But he didn't touch the food. And so, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari thought it was haram. But the Prophet ﷺ did not eat it for a reason. The reason was that there was garlic in the food. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want to have a foul smell coming from his mouth at any time. For indeed, at any moment, Jibreel could come down with revelation. And so he did not want revelation to be revealed to him and he had foul smell coming from his mouth. And there's no time, no specific time which revelation would come down. It could come down at any time. And so he had a specific reason not to eat it. And so he said, "I dislike it." For that particular reason, he disliked it. But you know what Abu Ayyub al-Ansari said? When he heard that from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "By Allah, O Messenger of Allah, I dislike it also. Iwallah." Subhanallah. Look at this. He did not like it immediately. Did you think that was not his favorite food? Do you know, if you had a guess, someone the likes of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your house, would you give anything else beside but your favorite food? Would you give him anything but something you really loved? Would you give something you didn't like? Of course not. But when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I dislike it," that was probably his favorite food before that moment. He said, "By Allah, O Messenger of Allah, I dislike it also." Did he have to dislike it? No, he didn't have to dislike it. But that was his love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's how they were. That's how they were. And there are many other incidents and cases in which it's not just the men. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a woman who came with her daughter and she had two thick bracelets of gold. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "أَتُعْطِينَ زَكَاتَ هَذَا?" Do you give the zakat of these bracelets, these thick gold bracelets? And she said, "No." And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Would you like those bracelets to be turned into fire on the Day of Judgment?" And so, I want you to imagine this, okay? If this were to happen during our time right now, what would the pious people, what would the pious woman in our time do? A pious woman during our time would probably say, and if the imam said, "Do you give the zakat of this gold?" And if she says no, then the imam says, "You know, you really have to give it. Yeah, because Allah will turn to fire in the Day of Judgment." What do you think a pious woman during our time would say? Pious woman, we're not talking about people who are not practicing. People who are practicing, they would probably say, Imam, how much zakat do I have to give?" And then she would give the amount of zakat, right? But what happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She said, "Huma lillahi wa lirrasuli." These two are for Allah and His Messenger. She gave it all. Immediately upon hearing that she had to give zakat on it, this is all, take it all. Oh Messenger of Allah, they're all for Allah and His Messenger. That's the quickness in response of Allah and His Messenger during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was another companion. It was related to gold also. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam previously on the minbar, he said, "Inna hadaini haramun ala dhukuri ummati." These two things, gold and silk, he held up gold and silk and said, "These two things are haram for the male of my ummah." Later on, there was a man who had a gold ring, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the gold ring. He took the gold ring. Wallahu alam, if this particular man knew of that incident or not, or he was there or not, but he saw the gold ring. He saw the gold ring later on. He said, "Why would one of you take the ember of fire and put them on his finger? Why would one of you?" And then the Prophet ﷺ took it and he tossed it. Took the gold ring and he tossed it. So that man just went away and walked away from his ring. And the companions who witnessed this incident, they approached him and they said, "Why don't you take your ring? Why don't you take your ring? I mean, this is precious metal. It's haram for you to wear, but you can have it. It's not haram for you to have. You can sell it. Your wife can use it. It's money. It's gold. It's gold. It's precious." But you know what the companion said? He said, "Wallahi la akhudhuhu wa qad tarahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah, I would never touch it again as long as the Prophet has already tossed it." Right away. This is how the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were. They did not say, "Tomorrow, inshallah." They did not say, "After graduation, inshallah." They did not say, "After hajj, inshallah." They did not say, "After I finish my mortgage, inshallah." They did not say, "After I get married." They did not say, "After I retire, after I'm 40, after this and after that." No. Immediate response to Allah and His Messenger. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to them whenever they raised their hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to them. تَعْرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ. Know Allah in times of ease. يَعْرِفْكَ فِي شِدَّةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know you in times of hardship. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغدا واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by anything He pleases. He swears by the sun and the moon and the stars and the day and the night. But when He swears by something, it is to signify the importance of that object that we should reflect upon. And it's also to emphasize the statement that's coming up. When you want to swear, as Muslims, we are only allowed to swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah can swear by anything He wants. He swears, and then He mentions a statement, it's to emphasize the next statement. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Himself, in many verses He swears by the sun and the moon, the day and the night. But if He swears by Himself, how important do you think the next statement is? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an in Surah An-Nisa swears by Himself. He swears by Himself when He speaks about the condition and the state of the mu'min, the believer, when he hears the call of Allah and His Messenger, or when he hears a decree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا ثُمَّ قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ إِنَّي by your Lord, O Muhammad. Allah swears by himself, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They shall not have faith, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until they make you a dispute in all their affairs, in which they quarrel about. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. And they find no resistance in what you have decreed whatsoever. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And they surrender to it with the fullest of conviction. They surrender to it with the fullest of conviction. Meaning they say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. And they know that that's best for them. They don't say, you know what? That's haram, but I wish it wasn't. Well, they say, you know, that's good, but I don't know. They surrender to it and they love it. Even the things that are mubah, look at the case of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. He didn't have to dislike that food. That was his favorite food. But because the Prophet disliked it, he disliked it right away. He didn't have to. What about the obligatory matters? What about the things that we have to do? For indeed Allah subhanahu knows what's best for us. And we have to realize that He's more merciful towards us than we are merciful towards our own selves. So it's all good in being obedient to Allah and His Messenger. And during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions were quick in the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever they heard a matter or saw something, or they were ordered to do something, they were quick in the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. And so if we ourselves, if we want to change, we want to revive ourselves, we want to revive the community, we want to revive the ummah, if we want to return to the deen, then let us change in how we respond to Allah and His Messenger. And be quick in the response of Allah and His Messenger. You know, on the Day of Judgment, everyone will stand in front of Him is the hellfire. Between Him and Paradise will be the hellfire, and there will be a bridge. There will be a path called as-sirat, which will be thin and sharp, and you will have to cross it. And it's not because of your acrobatic abilities, it's not because you work for the circus that will help you cross this. No, it's your actions and how you respond to Allah and His Messenger. That is what will determine how fast and how you will go across it. For indeed some people will go across it as fast as lightning, and there will be others who will go across it just like a person riding on a horse or a steed quickly passing by. And there will be some who will be crawling. Why? And what determines that? It's not your acrobatic abilities, no. It is your deeds. It is how you are in this world, in your response to Allah and His Messenger. How you are when Allah calls upon you. How you are when Allah prohibits something. Are you quick in responding to Allah and His Messenger? If you are quick in your deeds and in your response to Allah and His Messenger, then you will also be quick on that day to cross the sirat. So all of us right here, I want you to reflect, if you're standing and Jannah is in front of you and the sirat is there, how fast are you to cross that bridge? And it's going to be dark. Not only is it hard, already difficult, but it's going to be dark. Brothers and sisters, if you can move up, inshallah, so that the people who come behind can. So, how quick will you be? I want you to look at yourself when it's time to pray. When you know it's time to pray, where are you? And how are you in responding to Allah and His Messenger? Are you sitting down watching the New England Patriots? And it's time to pray, and it might be the fourth quarter going overtime. You say, inshallah, let me just finish this over here. Or do you say, you know what, it's time to go to the masjid, let's go. Or are you just sitting down, inshallah, after this, it's okay, we still have time. We still have time, inshallah. Asr isn't over until maybe we still have an hour left. We'll pray at the end of the time. If you're like that, then you'll know also how fast you'll be crossing it. If you ever make it through, because there will also be hooks, and you'll need balance also. Just like when a person crosses, you know, a person on a tightrope, and he has that stick to balance him so he doesn't fall over left or right. Do you know that across the Sirat, there will be two things that will help you balance also? Do you know what those two things are? The Prophet ﷺ said, when a believer is in the Sirat, is on the Sirat, two things will come and help balance him. What are those two things? Ar-Rahim wal-Amana. Enjoining relations and al-Amana. Trustworthiness. Are you trustworthy? When people give you something, can they trust you? Do you fulfill your responsibility in your home with your family? Or do you do not fulfill your trusts? For indeed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la imana liman la amanata lah. A person who does not have amana does not have iman. And how are you going to enter Jannah without that? And then he said, ar-rahim. That's enjoining relations. If you don't enjoin your relations, if you don't enjoin your relations with your family members, with your parents, your aunts and uncles, your brothers and sisters, and your cousins, then you're not going to cross the Sirat also. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع. A person who cuts relations will not enter Jannah. And so when you stand up in the front in the Sirat, how fast are you in your response to Allah and His Messenger? When you raise your hands, you better look at yourself. You want Allah to respond to you quickly. But then, when it's time to respond to Allah and His Messenger, we're always delaying. We're always saying, inshallah, after I make hajj. Inshallah, after I retire. Inshallah, after I'm 40. Inshallah, after I get married. Inshallah, after I finish college. Inshallah, after this and after that. How do you know when that time will come? Or if that time will ever come? So give your response to Allah and His Messenger. And so what I want everyone here to do now is to realize and make that conviction that from now on, when you hear the call of Allah and His Messenger, you'll be quick to respond to Allah and His Messenger. And let that be the starting point of our change. For indeed Allah will not change what's in a people. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change what's in the people until we change what's in ourselves. So change in the way we respond to Allah and His Messenger, and Allah subhanahu will be quick to respond to us also when we're in need. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في شدة. Know Allah in times of hardship, and Allah will know Allah in times of ease, and He will know you in times of hardship. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وأقم الصلاة